The title of today's sermon is Be Ready. Can you say that? It's short. It's one of the shortest titles. What's the title again? Be Ready. Or if I want to quote it from King James, Matthew 26:44, he said, Be ye therefore ready. Open your Bible to Matthew 26. And let's read verse 44. Three versions. Matthew 24:44, New King James, New Living Translation, and Amplified. Matthew 24:44. Who is ready? Yes. And when I say New King James, it can be King James also. King James took New King James, New Living, and Amplified. Go on, please.
New King James, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Therefore, you also be what? Ready. Why? The Son of Man is coming. And the prediction that is definitely coming at an hour you do not expect. So the only way is to be ready at all times. If you try to gamble it, you'll be left behind. Yes. Thank you, sir. Matthew 24:44, New Living or Amplified? Who has New Living or Amplified? Matthew 24:44. Yes, New Living or Amplified? New Living. Yeah, please go ahead.
You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the
master... Just 44. Are you going beyond 44? Yes. So now, I like the way New Living puts it. He said, you also must be ready. And did you say all the time?
All the time.
All the time. Amen. It's not like, oh, I'm ready. I was ready yesterday, but I'm not ready today. Hallelujah. The Christian life is a life that you must be ready all the time. Because it's coming at a time that you don't know. He deliberately decided to do it that way. Because you know that that's the only way you live your Christian life best. You have to be ready all the time. New Living says you must. It's not an option. To gamble is to lose out. To gamble is to be left behind. It's not talking to the world. It's talking to believers. Amen. This is why it's important that anytime we're teaching in church, we teach the whole Bible. Because if you just keep thinking from one part of the Bible, you will forget these truths. For a moment, you think it's not there. You think it's just that, oh, we can have a full church, and we're having a nice meeting, and you know, all the sound system is powerful, the choir is powerful, you know, the decorations are powerful, you know, God is moving. Amen? But we have to look at the whole picture. It said, be ready all the time. Because it's coming. And an hour that you do not expect is talking to you, the believer. It's not talking to the world. God's message to the world always, yeah, is the gospel to be saved. See, your Bible, most of the Bible is not to the world. Amen? The Bible is to believers. Amen? What the message to the world is that they need to come to Jesus. Hallelujah? They are on their way to destruction, and God has sent his Son. Yeah? To save them from their sin and bring them into the life of God. Now, when you come into the life of God, then the whole of that Bible is for you. To train you. To equip you. To prune you. Yeah? To purify you. So that's why you can be ready. Hallelujah. The whole goal of Christ, like I was saying, like, you know, at the Watch Night service, is that he came to buy you as his bride. Amen? Say with me, say, we, true believers, are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. But he's not coming for any our bride. He's coming for a ready bride. You see, the mere time you say someone is a bride means that they are chosen out of many. Hallelujah. And if you are the bride of Christ, that means you are set apart unto Christ. Hallelujah. That means that you cannot be like just anybody. Amen. And if you came to this country, for example, as an economic migrant, you cannot just be like any economic migrant, always looking for money. Are you with me? That's not your identity. You are a believer. Wherever you are, that's your first identity. Amen? Sometimes, you know, people are far away from their base and then they forget their spiritual identity. You can't afford to. Anywhere you are, you have to be ready. If you find yourself in uni, you're far away from home, far away from church, you don't forget your identity. Don't go to uni and live a different lifestyle. Hallelujah. Whether at uni or at home, whether in your home country or in a foreign country, you should be ready because you are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. You have been called out of the world. Say with me, I have been called out of the world. This is something you should rejoice in. It's not something that should make you sad. Amen? I was saying the concept of holiness is not something that should make you sad. It's something that should make you rejoice. For example, I don't like anybody to put my, you know, my shirt in the mud and play with it. Yeah? I want it clean and nice. That's holiness. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want anybody to prepare my food in a kitchen full of worms and germs. It doesn't matter how tantalizing it is. If I know that the state of that kitchen was like that, all my appetite will be what? Gone. I mean, we're saying that on Friday in home fellowship, someone said they would take the meat. I said, no, I can't take any. All my appetite will be what? Gone. Hallelujah. That is holiness. Holiness is to be clean, to be pure. It's a good thing. Uncleanness is a bad thing. It's dirty. Hallelujah. We don't want uncleanness. Say with me, I don't want uncleanness. I want cleanness. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. That says you should be ready. Please, let's do Amplified. Then we'll now go to Ephesians. Amplified. Today, what I want to try to stir up in your heart, I want to stir up in your heart a holy fire to run your race. Because we are now in a season where our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That's a nice way of telling you that Jesus is coming back soon. Amen? Matthew 26:44. Let's read it. Amplified. Yes, let me get the mic. Matthew 26:44, Amplified. If you have it. Yes. Yes. Matthew 26:44. Matthew 24. Thank you. 24:44, Amplified.
Therefore, you who follow me must be also be ready.
Listen to this. Because it says just a minute. You who follow me. It's not like, oh, just everybody just say, look, you know, I'm a special believer, you know. I'm not like other people who really don't know their Bible. No, he's talking about you who follow me. He's talking to Peter and James and John and Judas. Amen. You who follow me. Amen. Amen. Say, I'm following Jesus. Then he told you, are you following me? You must be, you also be ready. It applies to me. It applies to you. I want you to understand that. Don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. Don't assume. Don't ever assume that you are safe. Yeah? You are only as safe or as ready as you are. Now, you are in Christ, yes. But you know, to continue to engage with him. Amen? The worst place you can ever be in your life is to take God for granted. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says that God, he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. Yeah? We don't know the exact number. Maybe it was 3 million, maybe it was 6 million. We don't know. Yeah? But most of the people who came out of Egypt, most died in the wilderness. Hello? It was their children. Yeah? That mostly entered the promised land. Or let's say it's most of the adults that came out of Egypt. They perished in the wilderness. But it was God that delivered them. They went to the Red Sea. They saw the miracle. Say, oh, how great God can be. You see the song they sang? If you go to Exodus, you see mighty, beautiful songs. But most of them perished in the wilderness. And yet it was God that brought them out of Egypt. You know why? Because they stopped applying themselves. Bible said they were destroyed. 1 Corinthians 10. Because of unbelief. Bible said they rebelled. They committed sexual immorality. They committed idolatry. And God was not pleased with them. Hallelujah. And they perished. Where? In the wilderness. And it's the same God we are still serving. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that you are following Jesus. Say with me, I'm following Jesus. So don't take him for granted. Amen. When Jesus says go, go. When Jesus says come, come. When Jesus says don't do that, don't do it. When Jesus says do that, do it. And when you miss it, repent. Amen. It's that simple. You can miss it. But the worst thing about missing it is not getting back on track. Amen. You can miss it. There's nobody that can miss it, but get back on track. That means that you're not taking God for granted. Amen? And that's the guarantee. That's where your safety is. Your safety is in Christ. Amen? But that safety must be continuously engaged with. That's why he said, abide in me. Stay actively connected. Stay actively engaged in me. That is safety. Amen? When you stop abiding, when you stop engaging, when you stop obeying, when you stop following, then you are no longer actively in him. You are drifting away. Amen? Please, finish Amplified. Matthew 26, 24. I keep saying 26. I think we must find out what is that 26. Matthew 24, 44.
So therefore, you who follow me must also be ready.
Why?
Because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him.
This is truth that I really wish to explore. The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not what? Expect him. So you know, I tell you something, it will catch you doing what you normally do. Let me explain that again. Someone say, I don't worry. You know, how do you say? You think I'm not serious? Don't worry. Just before Jesus comes back, I will get to you. I will pray better than you. I'll fast better than you. I'll do things better. No. He will caught and catch you doing exactly what you do regularly. Amen? Amen? So, if you want to know whether you're going to go with him when he comes, check what you do regularly. That's where we find you. Amen? Are you with me? Let's open to Ephesians 5. Then I will take you back to Matthew. Ephesians chapter 5. We did this on New Year's Eve. I just want to emphasize this again. I will go back to Matthew. The main focus of the message is Matthew. But we look at Ephesians. We look at Thessalonians. Come back to Matthew. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 to 27. Yes? Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Let's have some other reader. Where's the mic? Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. And I hope the young people have not traveled elsewhere on their phone. I believe we've trained you well enough. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Yes?
From New King James Version. Husbands, love your wives. Just like Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish.
Amen. Please describe to me, just using choose one word to tell me the type of church Jesus is aiming for. Yeah, what type of bride he wants? Give me an adjective from those those verses. Just one adjective.
Pure.
Pure, yes. More. What is Jesus looking for? What's our bride is looking for? Yes.
Cleansed.
Yes. More. There's more there. More. Look at it. Look at your Bible. Verse 20. Holy. Sorry? Virtuous. Yes. More. Anyone? Faithful. Yes. Please go back to the verse. There must be something you can find there you've not mentioned. No what? No spot. No what? Spot. It's not like there's spot and it's now being hidden. None. Amen. Wiped off. Not maxed away. Huh? None. Yes, more. What other quality? Check. No what? No blemish. Another one? No wrinkle. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the church. No, what I'm saying is that I'm trying to understand that is who, that's who Christ is working in you to become. You see, when you don't have vision, you just allow anything to happen with your life. You live a worldly life. You're a Christian, but you don't have vision. You can't see. Yeah? So you will blend in and do what unbelievers do. Because it's fun and it's funny. Are you with me? I want to understand that something can be fun. Yeah? And not holy. Something can be funny and filthy. You with me? It can be funny. Yet what? Filthy. It's like you went to the Apollo. You know the Apollo? Okay, you may not know that the Apollo. Anybody watching BBC? There's a program, they say, Live at the Apollo. Yeah? It's a comedy program, yeah? And you have a comedian come out, and they crack many jokes. And people laugh. It's funny. But many of things being said are filthy. They are filthy. They're not good for your soul. Really? It's funny, but it's what? Filthy. There's some skits we watch on YouTube, and it may be funny. But it's what? It's filthy. It's just, they just joked about something God said should not be done. And they made it look not that bad. Yeah? And you laughed. Amen? The laughing is not the sin. The problem is that by too laughing, you have allowed that thing to enter your soul and corrupt it. Subtly. You didn't know that you corrupted it. It reduced your resistance to that error. Are you with me? But I want you to understand your vision of who you are. The vision of who Christ has called you to be. His goal in your life. He's the one working. Yes, I know. It's Christ working in your life. And he's working through his word. So we say it's Christ that will make me holy. And you can't make yourself holy. Yeah, you can just cooperate. Amen? You can't. You can just cooperate. It's Christ. Christ is the one that called you. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that is working in you. Yeah? To transform you. Someone say, oh, what's my part there? Your part is to cooperate. Amen? Your part is what? To cooperate. Your part is to yield. Your part is to be willing. Amen? Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you see, that part is your gift back to God. Amen? See, what God gave you is free will. Say, God gave me free will. So I know you're happy, you're dancing, I can do whatever I like. Amen? Now, your give back to God is to offer him what? That free will. This is love in action. Love releases, gives you the free will. I won't force you to do whatever I want. I will give you the joy. But also, I will show you my goodness. Amen? I'll show you my righteousness. I'll show you my holiness, my love. So now, the response of love, once you receive love, yeah, you respond back with submission. Amen? If you really found out that God is good, if you really found out that God, yeah, is good, yeah, you should not have any problem submitting to his ways and his will. If you are struggling with his ways, you are doubting his goodness. Amen? That's why you go to Revelation 1:8. It gives the list of those who will be cast in the lake of fire. The first on the list is what? The fearful and the what? And the unbelieving. And I told you that he didn't say the unbelievers. Because if one said the unbelievers, all he needed to say was Revelation 21:8, yeah, should be just one line. All unbelievers, we go to hell. We will say, we knew that already. Amen? That's not what he wrote. It's unbelieving. The reason is that every time you are doubting the goodness of God, you will not obey what God is telling you. You think it's about to shortchange you. You think that God wants to take away something from you. You forgot that he gave you everything. And he has more. Where it came from. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like God gave you a car. Now I say God gave my sister a car. So God woke her up in the morning. Say, my daughter, how about that your car? Say, which one? You already thinking that maybe God wants to do something. God wants to collect the car or something. Maybe God wants to send you an assignment on that car. Yeah? I said, well, God is my car. Amen? But, you see, when God gives you the car, that's not the end. You also still need God to maintain that car. You see, for you to successfully operate it, and for it to serve you properly, you need God's help. And when God is telling you to serve him with his car, with your car, yeah, he's not trying to take it from you. He's trying to help you use it properly. May you not serve the devil with your car in Jesus' name. Does anybody understand what it means to serve the devil with your car? May you have a car that embarrasses you and sinks all your income. Amen. If I have a car, it's always sinking your income. What should you do? You sell it. Even if nobody wants to buy it, what do you do? Scrap it. It's useless. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not out to shortchange you. Amen. He came. He said he's a thief that came to steal and to kill and to what? But Jesus said, I have come, hallelujah, to restore your life, put you back in order, put you back in shape. Everything that was broken, put it back. I wanted to remove the spot. I want to remove the wrinkle. There are some spots in your life. Some of them came when you dined with the devil. Amen? And you know, the devil is very wicked. You see, one of the worst things to be in life is to be the bride of the devil. He will use you and dump you. Amen? But God will pick you up. Amen? He will pick you up with your pieces. And he will mend you. Amen? He will mend you. He will remove your spot. He will remove your what? Wrinkles. He will remove your uncleanness. He will make you clean and whole. Hallelujah. That is what God wants to do with your life if only you will cooperate with him. Hallelujah. To cooperate with God means I understand that what God wants for me is my best deal. There's no other better deal. And that's what you're saying today. Say, heaven and earth will pass away. Do you realize that? Whether you like it or not. Someone said, but we don't even know when Jesus will come. But we know you are getting old every day anyway. There was a time you were 40 years old. But you'll be 15 this year. Amen? Hallelujah. There was a time you were 25. You remember when you were 25, don't you? I'm assuming you're not 25. Amen? There's a time you were 40 years. And you're like, I remember when I was growing up, was like, life begins at 40. I don't know what they mean. Does anybody know what they mean by life begins at 40? Let's go to the back row. We have some heavyweights here who can explain to us. What does it mean to say life begins at 40? Anybody? Okay, let's. Brother Ken, help us. When they say life begins at 40, what do you think they mean?
It means at 40, you should have sustained the maturity to overcome the challenges of life.
Okay. Yes. I think that what they meant is like, you know, at 40, now you've been working, you made some money, you know, you have some influence, you can begin to enjoy life. You can organize parties, you know. You can go on holidays, you know. You can do whatever you like. Yeah? That's the easy part. Amen. So even Jesus has not come, you're growing older. In fact, what that means is that the time you have left on earth to do the will of God is getting shorter. And someone says, don't worry, God will restore me. And I will, everything I've not done, I will do. Yes, I know, but you are going to have to do them all in a short time. Amen? It's like the baking of cake. You know cake? I told you about this baking of cake. Yeah? Imagine instead of 1 hour, you just turn up the heater, maximum temperature, to bake it in 2 minutes. What are you going to come out with? Black cake. You know? It'll be the Christmas pudding. Black. Black smoky. Amen. Are you with me? Jesus said, be ready. Because the Son of Man is coming at a time you do not expect. Hallelujah. So going back, the mission statement is that God wants to clean up my life. And I want you to love the idea of purity. It's a good idea. Hallelujah. It's good to be clean, to be pure. Maybe at some point you were under the bondage of pornography. And God cleans, God, now you have come to say why it's out. It means nothing to you anymore. You are free. It's a good place to be, to just be free. Amen? To be free, to be free. You are not under bondage. He has helped you. You couldn't help yourself. He helped you. Amen? Hallelujah. He helped you. Maybe you're the type of person that, you know what? You can't do without TV. Anything on TV, you swallow it. Coronation Street. EastEnders. WestEnders. Big Brother. And Small Brother. You just be swallowing anything they put. Amen? But God helped you. Now you stay whereby the TV is there. It has no, it means nothing to you. Hallelujah. Now, you are investing 3 hours in tribute before. Now you are investing 3 hours in prayer. God has helped you. Amen? He has cleansed you from that which was impure. Maybe you're the type of person that, you know what? If there was a party, yeah? You want to show them, yeah? That you are there. When you look at yourself in the mirror, say, they will bow. Amen? And if they don't bow, they will die. You know? I'm going to finish them. I don't know what you mean by finish. You know, finish. Amen? That's the type of believer. I'm not talking about an unbeliever. I'm talking about you're a believer. But that, this is important. This is so important to you. You don't mind spending the whole day shopping for the right attire for this party. Yeah? You know, the party will be 3 hours to 6 hours. But you invested a whole month preparing your attire for these 3 hours or what? 6 hours. But when God helped you, yeah? It no longer became the most important thing to you. You cannot go to this party, yeah, without looking for anybody to kill. Amen. You are not looking for anybody to bow to you. Yeah? Hallelujah. God has set you free. You are clean. Amen? You are what? You are clean. You are clean. Amen. When you are not dressing up, you are not thinking of those who will bow.
You know what I mean? You're just dressing up for the glory of God. Imagine you're dressing up, you're just thinking of God and His glory. Not who we bow. Not who we salute. Amen? And I always say to myself, as a pastor, I'm not trying to make any sister in this church attracted to me. I have a wife. Amen? I don't want to be too attractive. Please understand what I'm trying to say. Get some wisdom there. My goal is not to make you like me so much that you wish I was your husband. Why am I looking for trouble? I don't want trouble. Amen. And vice versa. You know? I don't want to make all the brothers look at you. Like, oh, they wish they were married to you. Is that your goal? No. Your goal is to please God. Your goal is to please God. And you carry that mindset in everything you do. My goal is to try that when you look at me, you remember that you are the bride of Christ. Amen. When you look at me, I want it that when you look at me and you remember me in your privacy and you're about to do a bad thing, you say, I remember Pastor. I can't afford to do this. Amen? That's inspiration. That's motivation. Sometimes you need other people in your life to motivate you in the right direction. It's the fragrance you carry. No matter how much perfume you use. Yeah? The fragrance you carry is the impact you have on the soul. Even when you are away from them, you can affect them in the right direction. Yeah? Because of you, they will make the right decision. Because they've drawn inspiration. They caught fragrance from you. That's what Jesus wants to do with your life. Hallelujah. Now, the goal of the devil is to sink you into the busyness of life. So you have no time for the mission statement. It will sink you in. You are forever battling with the mud. Yeah? You don't have time. For the mission statement. And you know what? You can spend the whole of your life being there. Yeah? If you don't break yourself loose. Hallelujah. And breaking yourself loose starts from just understanding that this, I am for Christ and I want to cooperate with Christ. It is mission for my life. Then you have been set free. Then the devil has nothing to hold on you. You see, Judas. You know Judas? You know the devil used him? And you know Jesus was one of those following Jesus that he said he should be ready? Yeah? Judas had something of the devil that he was holding on to. One, he was covetous. Yeah? He liked to make a quick money. Yeah? A quick deal. You know a quick deal? You see an opportunity to quickly make some quick money. Yeah? Bible says he kept the purse and he took from it. Even when someone poured the oil, the perfume, at the feet of Jesus, what? Which loves? So it's a waste. It looks so what? Politically correct. Which loves sold this perfume and gave it the money to who? To who?
Sorry.
Okay. Where's my mic? Please help me. Judas said this perfume should have been sold and the money given to who can help me? The what? The poor. Is that not very general, very kind man? Very kind. Yeah? Very liberal. What a waste. He even dared criticize Jesus himself. Jesus, what's going with you? Which you love so much that came to the poor. You know? If Jesus was not Lord, Jesus would start feeling guilty. Amen? But the Bible says, you know, the writer wrote it there. He said, this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he took money from what? The poor. So it means that if they sold it, yeah, he will take his own cut. Amen. You see, He did not allow, he did not open up his heart to let Jesus do a good work in him. Jesus was capable. Jesus was capable of doing a good work in him. You don't understand the name of Judas. Judas, yeah, is another way of writing the name Judah. Judah is the name of the tribe from which Jesus came. He's the lion of the tribe of what? Judah. So he is his kinsman, is his tribesman. They were related. In fact, not just related, he's a representative. That when, so when you give us the name of Judah, you are basically saying, you know, this is a representative of our time. Hallelujah. God had a good destiny for him if he would cooperate. But there was also a bad destiny if he would not cooperate. He chose. Amen? So when the devil came, he just took hold of his weakness to destroy his destiny. Someone said to me, okay, but why did Jesus allow Judas to be with him for 3.5 years? Anybody help me? Yes?
To transform me,
yes? I mean, let's assume that. Let's assume for a moment that Jesus knew that Judas is not going to betray him. Yeah? Why did he allow him to be with him for 3.5 years? You know when Jesus sent out the 12 apostles to go and heal the sick and raise the dead? Judas was there. He went up with them. Judas healed the sick. Judas cast out devils. Yeah? He was about to die. So why did he allow him 3.5 years? Why not just chuck him out, you know, from the beginning and take him at the end? Tell me, someone help me. Why did Jesus allow Judas 3.5 years?
Because he was part of the plan.
He was part of the plan, yes. More answers? That's a good answer. More answers. More? Anybody? Why? Transformation, yes. Any other one? Opportunity to reflect and change, yes, more?
Because if we go back to the book of Isaiah, there was a firm plan with a sequence of events and circumstances there that had to be lived out.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be betrayed.
Who said part of the plan? You, yes, more? Anyone more? I agree that it's part of the plan. But I'm saying that the plan could have been implemented in 3 months. Why 3.5 years? Why all that wasted effort of Jesus on Judas? Yeah? All the sermons, he was there.
I think God has a pattern here. If you check the children of Israel, God will not allow them to do something. He will say, until their sin is full, until this person's cup is full. Then he will say, okay, now you can go and do this place, but don't touch this place because they still have up to 3 years to fill up the cup of their iniquity. And then God is also, I believe, telling us that everybody has the same chance to salvation. Some people, you might say, oh, this person just died so young. But God will make sure you have every single opportunity, just like every other person. And even more, if that person is not going to make longer, God will give the person more opportunities to actually do the right thing. And you'll be shocked when you start seeing all the interventions God has placed in that person's life, even more than the person that lived longer. And so I believe the story of Judas is like telling us, even as believers, that so many people in the church might have very wonderful opportunities to even be in the presence of God, but still miss it. Not,
amen.
Not God's fault.
Please, put your hands together for my sister. I like that. Should I hand over the mic for you to complete this hour? Amen. Very important lesson there. 2 Peter 3:9. He said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repent. So God bears long. Amen? He bears long. Give him the opportunity. Amen. He had the opportunity to dine with Jesus. But he chose to dine with who? the devil. Until the devil entered him. And he reached the point of no return. Amen. He was not always at the point of no return. If you read your Bible very well, you see that story. But I said, when they left, the devil entered him. Amen. Yes.
Also, Pastor Ben, it shows to us that condemnation comes from Satan, because in theory, if Judas had not killed himself, he could have been redeemed after Christ went on the cross. If he'd been repentant.
Yes, if. I accept. You give me the phrase I need. If. But the question is, could he have? After the devil entered him. You know, that's the issue. It's like someone who has received the mark of the beast. Could they repent now? Yeah. They couldn't, because they have been possessed now. That's why they can't repent. Because they have been possessed. Yeah? You see?
Yeah, mass murderers
have repented. That's right. If they are not possessed. You know, if someone is possessed, for them to repent, that devil needs to be cast out. You see the problem. The problem is this, that yes, anyone can repent. It doesn't matter what you've done. You know, Peter denied Jesus. He denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. But he repented. Amen. But by the time Judas, by the time he reached a point of no return, where he has now that destiny has come upon him. And the Bible wrote it down, the devil entered him. Yeah, it was a point of no return. He's possessed. He's under a strong influence that the only way Judas will have repented is just have to come and cast out that devil. Okay, let's leave it there. Let's not get confused. Let me not confuse you. So you understand why those who receive the mark of the beast cannot repent? They are possessed. But God is a good God. It gives you the opportunity. Now, let me come back to where we're going and begin to, let's try to round up this service the sermon. Don't throw away the opportunity. This is what I'm really trying to tell you here. That the opportunities Peter had, Judas had. Amen? But Judas, yeah, he did not cooperate. He was doing his own thing and using Jesus. Smart guy. Yeah? Don't try to use Jesus. Let Jesus use you. Let me tell you why. In the process of using you, it will change you. You become a different person. You used to be proud. Yeah? Let me explain pride to you. Because like, if I say you're proud now, you say I'm not proud. Are you proud?
No.
You see what I said? Amen. One of the evidences, all the evidence of your pride is that you want to do things your own way. And you are not subject to instruction or correction. Stubbornness, yeah, is a great evidence of pride. Amen? But if you're going to walk with Christ, yeah, you can't be calling the shots to him, can you? Who is Lord? So you have to lay down, yeah, yourself. Now you cannot take instruction from him. Amen? And that's how it will change you. When you came to Christ, you thought you were something. You thought I had talent, I have skills, I'm a go-getter. I'm not talking to you. Okay. I'm talking to myself. Yeah, I'm brilliant, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm strong. You know, what else are you? What else are you? Tell me what else you are. Anybody? What else? When you came to Christ, what else do you think you were? I'm beautiful.
Resourceful.
Resourceful, thank you. What else? Tell me. Any talented, yes. When you came to Christ, what did you think you were before you came to Christ?
Selfless.
Self, you know, like Judas, like, why don't you sell this and give to the poor? That sounded very selfless. Political correctness, speech. Yes? When you came to Christ, what did you think you were? The young man is still quiet.
Disciplined.
You bring all those in and say, Jesus, we are here. What can we help you with? Amen. He thought you were going to help him. But when he started working on you, he will start unmasking all those things he thought were your assets. Yeah? And showing the weaknesses packaged inside them. And he will start dealing with those weaknesses so that he can be truly useful to him. Amen. See, when you really work closely with Jesus, yeah, he will deal with your weaknesses. Hallelujah. It is the process of dealing with your weaknesses that he will remove the spots and the wrinkles and the blemishes. Yeah? And it will make you what? Holy. Now, when you are truly holy, don't think of holiness as being super sanctimonious. No. Holiness is a place where you are completely yielded to God. Amen? Because the real person that is holy is God. And when I'm completely yielded to God, I'm in holiness. Amen? When God can have his way with me all the time, I'm holy. When it's not difficult for God to have his way with me, I'm holy. So holiness is full, complete yieldedness to God. And that's why I say be ready. So you can see what I mean by being ready. Being ready is to be fully engaged. Yeah? Be what? Fully engaged. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be what? Done. To be ready, he says, Lord, I want more of you and less of me. Because, you see, if it's more of you, it will always tend towards flesh. Selfish ambition. Yeah? It's you. You know, that's you. People can clap for you, but it's still you. Now, someone says, but does it mean if I'm in Christ, I should not achieve things? No, you will achieve things. It will help you. But when you achieve, you will not be able to take the glory. Because you know that it's God that helped you. Amen? When you're in Christ, does it mean that, you know, my children should not do well? No, your children will do well. You know how they will do well? It will help you. Part of the process of their doing that, you will pray. When you face challenges. Are you with me? If you are yielded to God, when you face challenges with your children, you've tried your best, it's not working. What do? You pray. Those some of the challenges will push you. You know, you didn't want to pray, but those challenges will push you to go on your knees and pray. You will pray. You will go on their bed and pray. You go on the floor and pray. Then, give some time. God will intervene. Things will change. Amen? You can't take the glory. You know it's God that helped you. Hallelujah. It's part of holiness. It's part of being ready. Being yielded. Now, let's read the part of Matthew and then we'll finish there. Matthew 24. You're about to finish now. Matthew 24. Luke, someone read for me verse... So read verse 40 to 44. Let's do that. And I will explain it, then we finish. Matthew 24, 40 to 44. Anyone is ready, I'll take it. Matthew 24, 40 to 44. A young person in the house, between 11 and 18. Matthew 24, 40 to 44. Just listen and we'll finish it there.
New Living Translation. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you two must keep watch, for you don't know what a day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready at all times, for the Son of Man will come when least expected.
Amen. If I want to explain to you that we finish is that... Two men will be doing what? They'll be walking. Yeah? One will be taken and one will be left behind. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I saw two men. I said, oh, this is a believer and this is an unbeliever. So the believer will be taken and the unbeliever will be left what? Behind. But that's no news. That's no news. If Jesus didn't tell us, we should know that. No, nobody should tell us that. When Jesus comes, it's only believers that will go with him. Do you need any soothsayer to tell you that? You know that. If he's coming for his bride, he's not going to take someone who is not even belongs to him. Yeah? That's not the message there. Two men walking in the field, these are two people that have equal opportunities. Both following Jesus. He's talking to you who follow me. He said, therefore you who follow me, be
ready. He's saying I'm coming at an hour expected to those following him. He's implying that some of those following him will not be ready. You getting that? So two men walk in the field. Two believers. They all had the opportunity to come to church, to come to prayer meeting, to come to Bible study, to come to evangelism. They had the opportunity to give generously. They had the opportunity to serve God, to follow God, to listen to the word of God. Yeah? But one was ready. And one was what? Not ready. That's why one will be taken and the other left behind. You see that? Two women grinding at the mill. Similar opportunities. They are not disqualified because of their gender or because of their profession. They were in the same profession and the same gender. The only difference was their attitude towards God and the things of God. The only difference was whether they were applying themselves or not. Whether they're taking it for granted or not. Whether they're making the most of the opportunities or not. That's what determined whether they were ready or not. Let's rise up and talk to God. Why am I giving this message? This is 2025. We are gradually approaching, we are closer to the end of the age than before. We are living in unprecedented times. We are living in uncertain times. Yeah? The day is becoming the night. Bible says when you get to the night time, those who sleep will what? Sleep. But he's saying that you are of the day, you cannot afford to sleep what? In the night. Spiritually speaking, you have to watch. It's a natural place to sleep at night, but you are not of the night. If you want, in terms of the attitude of being ready, you must understand that you are not of the night. So when you see the people of the night doing their own thing, yeah? Living in sin, living in immorality, uncleanness, compromise, don't join them. You'll be tempted, you'll be provoked. Life will provoke you. Yeah? Life will provoke you. Your children can provoke you, if you have children. Your parents can provoke you. Your spouse can even provoke you. Your parents can, anything can provoke you. Your job, anything. Life will provoke you. But don't sleep. Please don't, you never tell them, don't sleep. You have to watch and be ready. Talk to God and say, Lord, it's a choice you're making. Hallelujah, God will help you. He's already there to help you anyway. Say, Lord, I choose to be ready. That's all. It's a simple prayer. I choose to be ready. That when you come, I will not be found wanting. I choose, and we know that the key to that is not to take you for granted. Don't ever procrastinate your obedience. Yeah? If God has told you something to do, or you know the right thing to do, you know it in your heart, the right thing to do, do it now. If you are struggling, ask for grace and help, but don't procrastinate obedience. It can cost you a lot. Ask Judas. Don't gamble with God. Yield yourself to Him. Apply yourself fully. Engage fully with God. Fully. The world and what He has to offer you is not worth the disappointment of not being ready. Pray and say, Lord, I choose to be ready. It starts from now. I will apply myself fully. If you're going to be ready when Jesus returns, you're going to be ready now. Because He will meet you at the time you don't expect. Thank you, Lord. We receive grace as Healing Springs Church in this year 2025 to run this race well, to be ready. Lord, to overcome the stumbling blocks, not to be discouraged when we find challenges, but to stay with You, stay in truth. Persevere in righteousness until we reap the fruit of righteousness. To persevere in obedience until we reap the fruit of righteousness. Pray to God and say, Lord, help me.
cleanse me from all uncleanness. Let me tell you, in the night time that we are, we're in the night time in the generation now, the spirit of uncleanness is on rampage. The goal of uncleanness is to mess you up. Mess up your body, then mess up your soul. And then mess up your spirit. That's the spirit of uncleanness. Pray and say, Lord, any uncleanness in my life that I've embraced, I want to drop it. I want, don't ever look around like that those who are sleeping at night. Pray and say, Lord, if I've embraced any uncleanness, Lord, in my body, in my soul, Lord, I want to drop. You have to drop it. Don't hold it. Don't hold it. You are not of the night. You are of the day. I want to drop it. So I can be pure and holy. So open my eyes, Lord. And everything I need to shed, put aside. Put aside. Thank you, Lord. Finally, ask for grace. Amen. Say, Lord, give me grace. In 2025, I want to be stronger. I want to be better. I want to be purer. I want to be higher. I want to walk the walk of faith and reap the reward of faithfulness. Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Say, Lord, this 2025, I want to seek You more diligent than I've ever done in my whole life. Pray that prayer. It's a good prayer. Whether I'm at school or at work or at home or in the community or in my family. Whether times are good or times are bad, I want to seek You diligently and do Your will. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.